Welcome back to Shattering Myths. So we're going to do our weekly sports in the news segment at this point. We have Aaron with us. Scott will join us shortly. Americans were going berserk. I mean, it was like Americans took whatever it is that international soccer fans must imbibe when they seem to go absolutely berserk at the victory of their soccer team. So the American national team is down in Brazil, and they defeated Ghana yesterday 2-1. So, Aaron, can you tell me where Ghana is located?
Africa?
There you go, Africa. let me give you the names of the countries that border Ghana. They're bordered by Burkina Faso. I'm sure you've heard of Burkina Faso, right?
I'm familiar with the name, but that's about it.
Togo?
Again, the name, but that's about it.
And the Ivory Coast. Ghana has a 24 million population. That represents between 7 and 8% of the United States. Their economy is based almost entirely on oil and gas, as well as diamonds, gold, and the one thing they actually grow is cocoa. Not as in cocaine, but as in chocolate. But this rival that America defeated and is celebrating in soccer, their gross domestic product last year was a rounding error on how much America spends on its military per month. About $97 billion. It's 0.05 percent of the American GDP. So you just look at this and say, okay, should America really be celebrating the fact that it beat Ghana in a close game, 2-1? You just shake your head and say, oh, okay. But nonetheless, if you've been paying any attention to the mess down there in Brazil while they're hosting the World Cup?
Some. I haven't read quite as many stories since the Cup has started, but leading up to it, there was quite a few.
Yeah, for the past 2 years, I get just been inundated with emails on how wonderful the Brazilian economy is, and the fact that Brazil sought to de-stratify its economy. You know, it was all promoted by the one percenters that are the 99 percenters that want the 1% to pay their fair share, even though the 1% pays like 25% of U.S. taxes already. But they want them to pay even more. And so they talk about de-stratification and the glorious result in Brazil. Well, and yet Brazil has just mind-numbing poverty. And that Brazil is a country that is in economic chaos. And that the head of the International Olympic Committee, surveying Brazil for the upcoming Olympics, which it was also awarded, says it was the biggest disaster ever in the history of the United States Olympic Committee to look at their lack of progress towards hosting the upcoming Olympic Games. And even with the World Cup, there are not only stadiums that are being built in the middle of the Amazon jungle without any potential for their use thereafter, but some of the stadiums weren't even completed when the Games began. Now, what is it that causes the world to reward countries like Brazil with games that they can ill afford and that they aren't not prepared to host?
Bribery again, I would assume.
Yeah, I would assume it's bribery as well. You know, and what's sad here is that the infrastructure to host the games, I mean, it exists in every country in Europe because they host professional teams. It exists in virtually every major city of the United States because of the NFL. and also because of college football stadiums. We already have 100,000 seat stadiums, and important smaller stadiums in the 75,000 to 85,000 range that are billion-dollar monoliths. And yet, no, we want to give it to Brazil. Well, we just completed the playoffs for the Stanley Cup. You are first and foremost a hockey fan. Aaron, what did you think?
Definitely not what I expected or predicted, as you can attest to.
Yes.
I did not have a lot of luck with that this year. Jonathan Quick repeated the performance that he had just a few years ago when they won the Cup last time with just stellar goaltending. The defense was outmatched the Rangers, who I thought played past their potential. I thought the Rangers probably shouldn't have been in that finals. I actually thought they'd have been kicked out in the first round. So the outcome is not terribly surprising, although they were beaten pretty handily by the Kings.
It appears that the best teams this year were in the West. The Blackhawks were a really fine team. The San Jose Sharks, a very fine team. The Anaheim Ducks, the teams that the Kings had to beat on their way to the Stanley Cup Finals, I think were all better teams than were the teams they actually played in the finals.
Yeah, this is almost a similar situation to the NFL this year, where I think the Kings and Blackhawks was probably much closer to a final series than the Kings and Rangers ended up being.
Yeah, so you're saying the same thing in the NFL, where the Seattle Seahawks played the San Francisco 49ers in the game that was really the Super Bowl for the NFL, and that the game subsequently against the Denver Broncos was a rout because the Broncos weren't nearly as good as the San Francisco that lost to Seattle.
Correct. The Super Bowl was pretty much a snoozer after about the first quarter. It was evident that the Broncos weren't going to be doing anything.
No, it wasn't a snoozer because I'm a Seahawks fan. You know,
non-Seahawks fan.
Yes, for us who are Seahawks fan, it was one of the more exciting Super Bowls ever played. For those, of course, that are Peyton Manning fans, and Peyton Manning's a good guy, and Denver Bronco fans, of course, it was a snoozer. The thing about the playoffs, though, in hockey that was so spectacular was that if you really followed the West, you know, you had three successive seven-game series, with many of those games going into overtime. It had to be as exciting a path to the Stanley Cup, at least up to the finals, that you're ever going to see. And even in the finals, I mean, the Kings won in the longest game in their history. In double overtime, and it wasn't the only double overtime game.
Most definitely. The hockey playoffs are always exciting. This year in particular was pretty amazing, especially with the Kings coming back and doing very similar to what they did a couple years ago as the bottom seed going to the playoffs and having just a great team effort. And as you said, 3 7-game series, the last one wasn't. And even to say that the last series wasn't entertaining, 4 of those 5 games went to at least one overtime. If not at 2, which I believe 2 of them went into.
Yeah, every one of those games was a spectacular game as a fan. They were all close. It was my view that Quick was not the best goalie in the series. That Lundqvist is a vastly superior goalie than is Quick. That Quick is he plays unconventionally and has seems to have great hand-eye coordination, that the reason that Quick and the Kings prevailed is that the Kings play much better team defense than did the Rangers.
Yeah, they're a little bit bigger, they're a little bit slower, but they hit harder and they play much better defense than the Rangers, who seemed like an offense-first team and depended on Henrik Lundqvist, their goalie, who I could make a pretty strong argument for is the best goalie in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely even looked like it that whole series. The final scores wouldn't show that, but actually watching him play,
yes.
Where Quick he depends on his athleticism, which is elite, and that's what leads him to be a good goalie. But Henrik Lundqvist has the best technical skill of any goalie in the world right now, and it definitely showed that series, but the rest of the team wasn't enough to get there.
Yeah, there were periods where the Rangers were outshot by the Kings 20-1. I mean, just an annihilation. And yet Rangers were able to keep those games close because of the superior play of their goalie. It was, my view of watching the series, that the most valuable player on the ice wasn't Lundqvist and wasn't Quick, but Doughty, the defensive player for the Kings, who played an ungodly amount of time and was not just great on defense, but was great in transition and great as an offensive threat.
Yeah, I believe he actually set the record for the most minutes logged in one postseason by any single player this year.
Yeah, there were games where, you know, typically in hockey, because of the fact that you have multiple offensive lines and multiple defensive lines, you know, guys will play flat out for 2 minutes, and that's about as long as they can play until you get to overtime, where it gets down to 1 minute. And then you're replaced by line two, three, and four, both offensive and defensively. And Doughty was playing for, you know, he would log sometimes more than half the game's minutes.
Yeah, with the top forwards, you'll usually log somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to maybe low 20s. And then if you're one of the bottom forwards, you'd probably have between 10 and 13 or 14. Defensemen
right.
usually log a lot more because there's only three lines and instead of four.
Right.
So the top
right.
line of defensemen will usually do 26 to 28 a night. To put mm-hmm. in over 30 is unheard of outside of one or two players with any consistency.
And he would scare 40 on some nights.
Yeah, the overtimes do factor into that, but it's still impressive nonetheless. And a lot of times they only have one night in between each game. So to be as big of a threat and producing as much as he was with the amount of minutes that he was logged, and the injuries haven't even come out, he possibly could have been injured, I'm not entirely sure. But it was a really impressive performance by Doughty.
Yeah, and when you watch the puck, too, he and Kopitar, but he even more than Kopitar, was the catalyst in almost every scoring opportunity that the Kings have. Even if he wasn't providing the assist, he was the one clearing the puck from the in front of the King's neck and driving it down and making the passes that facilitated almost all of the King's scoring.
And as a defenseman, that's all you're really asked to do. If you do more than that, you're going above and beyond.
Yeah, it was pretty extraordinary. Hopefully we'll have Scott back at the next segment. He is our basketball fan. He can talk about the great sadness that has been brought to the NBA with the defeat of my Heat to the San Antonio Spurs, although the Spurs were clearly a better team. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We do have Scott with us now. I'd like Scott to give his overview of the recently concluded NBA finals. I was unable to watch most of the games because, I'm a Heat fan, and with exception of one game, those games were not even close. The Heat were literally blown away, and yet clearly the Heat have the best player in the world. So what happened, Scott?
They had the best, statistically the best player on the court in the game or in the series. What happened? The better team won. I think, like you said, I think the Heat have more top end talent, but I think from top to bottom, the Spurs have a team that is assembled to be very very dominant.
But they're a bunch of old guys. I mean, those guys were in their prime 5 and 6 years ago. I mean, they're really up into their upper 30s. They're really a team of old guys.
No,
you know, Ginobili, is an old guy, and you know they're.
Yeah.
This is not a the.
The Finals MVP was Kawhi Leonard. And
yes.
He's only 22. Tony Parker's only 32. You're right, though. Ginobili and Duncan are very old.
Yeah, and they're upper 30s, almost 40.
Yeah, Duncan's almost 40 years old.
Yep.
The coaching.
I think so, too.
And look at how the Popovich goes about the season. He saves all these guys because they are older. He rests them. They have games where he has a very strict schedule that he holds to the point where they got fined, like, $250,000 because they didn't play stars for a game?
Right. And particularly against a tough opponent. They won't play their stars because, you know, what's the purpose? Why get my guys beat up?
Well, that's what I was talking about. Is I think when they were going to play in Miami, he rested his Duncan, Parker, and Ginobili all in the same game.
Yeah, and it looked like basically that Popovich's strategy was, I can't stop LeBron, and if I try to stop LeBron, not only can't I stop him, but that leaves all the other guys to score against us. So why don't we try this strategy? Let LeBron get his points, but let's shut down the rest of the team. And with exception of Bosch, Miami was a no-show.
Bosch, he gave his normal mm-hmm. input to the game, which people are now, you know, if you don't go above and beyond what you do normally, then people say you're not stepping up or whatever.
Yeah, but the Miami puts Bosch in a role. They have him miscast as a center. And they put him in a role that there is no way for him to really rise above that role because of the way they use him.
Well, yeah, they're expecting him to go down low and as the basketball world says, bang for rebounds, you know, bang in the paint. And you can't, he doesn't have the body for that.
No, he's a power forward.
And two, he's a mid-range jump shooter. Give him if you give him a shot at the top of the key, you know, right on the elbow there, he'll hit it almost every time.
Yeah, he's a great scorer if he's allowed to play as a power forward or even a shooting forward. But he's they've got him playing in center because they don't have a center.
And you know, the Spurs have been good all year long. They had the best record, and they had in the league by quite a few games, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. and. The Heat haven't looked good. Like, they've looked good at times, but they've never had that how they've looked the previous 2 years, where they've had moments where they look great, and they haven't really had that. And it didn't help that they go into the Eastern Conference Championships, and the Pacers have been on a downward spiral all year long.
Right.
So that wasn't going to give them that challenge, and all through the playoffs they never really got that challenge.
Nope.
So when they because we talked last week about this. I even said last week that I thought this was going to go seven games. I guess I thought the Heat would rise to the occasion. I just didn't think the Spurs would do this.
It's the most dominant margin of victory in NBA playoff history.
Yeah.
So this was an absolute annihilation. So then the question is, the greatest player of our era, and I think we have this defeat ended the comparisons between he and Michael Jordan. Well, I think LeBron is a better overall player. The debate will always be over championships won. LeBron's not going to pass Michael Jordan. So now it just is a matter of, where is LeBron going to go? Do you think he's going to stay at Miami?
I don't know. I think he will. I think he will, but he's gonna expect them to retool.
Yeah, I don't know where his options really are, other than Miami, where he'd have a better chance of winning. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shatterness. Well, the NBA playoffs are officially over. The real playoffs are just now beginning, and that is the LeBron sweepstakes. That's going to be determined the balance of the power in the NBA. What is LeBron going to do? I mean, he's playing with his best friend forever right now. But his best friend forever has got bad wheels, bad knees, and D-Wade, who's a lovely guy, is just a small fraction of what he once was. So where is LeBron going to go?
Well, he might not opt out of his contract. I mean, that's a possibility.
That team, the way it's configured right now, is not going to beat any one of the top three or four teams in the West.
No. But what they can do is, since the NBA has this thing called Bird Rights, to where you can go. There's no hard cap in the NBA.
Correct.
Technically, LeBron, Bosh, and Wade can all opt out of their contracts, opening up all that money as cap room.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can go out and sign a bunch of guys, and then if LeBron, since LeBron, Wade, and Bosh are all part of the Heat team, and they're mm-hmm. considered to be Heat free agents, they right. can actually, after signing all these other people, go back and re-sign those guys for the same contract that they have now and just go over the cap. And then right. after you hit a certain point, you'd have to pay penalties and stuff like that. But if they wanted to, they could retool the team pretty easily. They need a point guard, and they need to yes. find a big body.
Yes.
Whether it's a power forward or something like that. If the Heat want to keep LeBron, they need to do.
Yeah. Their big body, though, really can't be another forward because Bosch needs to be moved back to forward. They need a big body that can play center. And they need both a shooting guard and a point guard in the worst way.
Well, Ray Allen is a free agent now.
Ray Allen's a great guy. He's a wonderful shooting guard. And at the NBA minimum, he is worth keeping.
Yep.
But he's not the answer because he's just too old.
Well, he's 38 years old.
His
best days are behind him. You're not going to give him a contract based on reputation or anything like that. I think LeBron opts out, and I think he waits to see what the Heat do. And if at the end of it, if they retool enough, if the Heat from how they played last year mm-hmm. played the Spurs this year again, they would win. They would have won. I firmly believe that. But Wade couldn't produce on the court, and
Spoelstra was outcoached.
Definitely, and they didn't have a point guard, so LeBron had to had to start carrying the ball up and play point guard, and that takes a lot out of a guy that you're expecting a lot from, because it's not like he's taking a break on the defensive end.
So you think that LeBron James is going to opt out and resign?
I think he'll opt out and see what they do, and then I think you also got to watch and see where Carmelo Anthony ends up, who the Cavs draft.
Yeah, what's interesting, of course, about Carmelo Anthony and the NBA is that I'm not even sure the New York Knicks want him, and they just give some cursory lip service. He's a scorer, but he's a divisive personality, and he doesn't play defense. And so there's lots of criticism as to whether or not he's even a right fit for a team that didn't even sniff the playoffs.
And the only time that he hasn't been labeled as a
selfish right.
player is when he plays with LeBron on the national team.
Because LeBron is the least selfish player in the league, and if you're going to play with LeBron, you're going to be unselfish.
Yep, and say people can say what they want, but any other player other than LeBron, you couldn't put in this position. I mean, you could probably put Magic Johnson in this position playing basketball because he had that, I'm going to just make everybody else happy,
Right.
But you couldn't put Kobe in a situation like this. He would melt down with ego. A lot of guys couldn't do this, and LeBron's the only guy that you could build a team around like this because he's the best player, but he's willing to sacrifice parts of his game to play to other people's strengths. A lot like Bill Russell did for the Celtics
back in the day.
They said he could in college he could score whenever he wanted, and then when he got to the pros, he just decided, I'll grab rebounds, and I'll pass the ball, and I'll do all this other stuff. We got guys that can score. So
yes. Yeah, and they won a lot of championships as a result. Aaron, you were picked a article that you sent me a little insight on Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison was, for years, the go-to guy for the Indianapolis Colts for Peyton Manning. But Marvin Harrison was in a brouhaha a couple of nights ago. What was the story, and what's Marvin Harrison's background?
Marvin Harrison, like you said, he was the Colts wide receiver. Him and Peyton Manning had some great stats for I forget how many years together. But he is from Philadelphia and played for Indianapolis. But while he was there earning all of his money, he bought lots and lots of land and businesses in certain parts of Philadelphia because he likes that part of his town. He wants to kind of revitalize it.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple nights ago, he was driving his Ford F-350 around at 3:20 in the morning. And
which is, by the way, not a good time to be out. There's just nothing good that happens at 3:20 in the morning.
That is generally true, yes. So he was flagged down by a 38-year-old man who had just bolted out of an apartment on Ford Road near Monument Road, who was wearing nothing but boxers, fleeing from two intruders who had just broken into his apartment.
Mm-hmm. And so we have Marvin Harrison then ducking from gunshots. But Marvin Harrison doesn't exactly have the most stellar record, does he?
No, there was a few cases several years ago. I believe the first was in 2008. And at one of the businesses that he owned is a sports bar. And he would serve as the bouncer himself and not allow in anybody that had drugs or guns on them. It was his... Like I said, he's trying to kind of revitalize his own little area of Philadelphia, and he owned most mm-hmm. of the businesses on the block, a car wash, a parking garage, I believe, different mm-hmm. things like that. So this known drug dealer from around the town was trying to get into a sports bar, and Marvin would not let him in. And then later that night, there was a guy that was shooting at the drug dealer that was trying to get in with two handguns in the middle of the street. And he identified Harrison as the shooter. And the police
wow.
and they identified that the gun, that the bullet casings came from Harrison's gun that was registered to him, and nothing came from that beyond that.
Because he was shooting at a known drug dealer, and Harrison was trying to oust the drug dealer.
That is the only
you can be a vigilante.
That is the only reasonable conclusion that I can come to. So then, not only did that happen, then. In 2010, in June, there was another shooting at this same drug dealer, and this time he was hit in the back, and he identified Harrison as the shooter again. Now, a week or two later, Harrison was pulled over for driving the wrong way down a one-way road, again at about 2 in the morning, and the cops asked, do you have any guns on you? He said, no. Well, they swept the car and immediately found a gun in between the two front seats. They matched this gun to the gun that shot this same drug dealer. Once again, nothing came from it.
Wow. So it sounds like the Philadelphia police and Marvin Harrison are... they've deputized Marvin Harrison to be extra judicial.
Well,
that doesn't typically lead to anything good.
No, and the drug dealer that was shot died 2 months later from it. So that case is still open.
Oh, so that would be murder.
Yes, it would.
Goodness. So we appear to have a problem on our hands. Also in football, remember we told the story of Kaepernick and the naked woman claiming to be Jesus in the Florida hotel room that Kaepernick was had occupied previously. He just signed a gazillion-dollar contract with the San Francisco 49ers. Do you think they'll rue that, or do you think that that he was worth whatever it is, like $60 million that they offered him?
It's actually a pretty good deal for both sides because the way it's all set up, there's a lot of money that he has to hit certain in order to get it. He has to be hit certain things in order to get it. Like if he's not,
isn't like $40 million of it guaranteed?
$40 million of it is, but every year it's up to $60 million guaranteed. But mm-hmm. every year, if he's not an All-Pro quarterback or on the first team All-Pro or doesn't win a Super Bowl, it goes down by $2 million.
Yeah, the headlines and the things that you can pull from it saying, okay, $40 million guaranteed, or however, mm-hmm. it was 6 years at over $100 million. I forget the exact number.
Okay.
If you pull those out of context, it sounds ridiculous. But it was right. actually structured in a pretty good way for both sides. Kaepernick's going to get the money that he deserves, and the 49ers are going to be able to afford the other 52 players.
And that was his big point when he was doing it, is that everything I've read is that he specifically asked, if I sign this, are we going to have money left to sign these other these other guys? And he was told, yeah, so he signed it.
He's being paid now, though, as if he were one of the league's top 10 quarterbacks.
Now, while that's true, the issue here that the league is about to have in the next 5 years is that teams are in a position where they would much rather overpay their slightly above average quarterback than let him walk to another team who will gladly pay him that amount and take their chances with a rookie or an unsigned free agent.
Yeah,
that's why you see Joe Flacco getting the contract he got. You're going to see the same thing with Wilson.
Joe Flacco was grossly overpaid.
Yes, and they're all going to be overpaid.
But that's the other thing, is that outside of that $40 million, it's set up in the contract to where he has to make the rosters, like a roster at certain dates. So he gets some roster bonuses too. But if they cut him, they don't owe him any. They don't owe him a bunch of money. And then they also made it to where since he's a running quarterback, they made it so he had to pull out his own $20 million insurance policy that goes to the 49ers if he should get hurt.
Okay, well, when we come back to Shattering Myths, we can talk a little bit more about Kaepernick and whether or not he is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, a little bit of the economics of the league. And I'd also like to talk about Puig. Puig is the Dodger right fielder that is setting the National League afire. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Sports on the News. We're talking about the financial issues associated with quarterback. You can probably hear from the tone of my voice, I'm not a Kaepernick fan. I realize the man is unbelievably fast and that he's got a top 10, lower end of the top 10 QBR quarterback rating at this point. I wouldn't put him in my top 10 quarterbacks at the moment. In fact, Aaron, I think you would rate him also just outside of the top 10 in the middle 10 quarterbacks.
I brought up a list and kind of just quickly listed off the order that I would put them in, and he came in at number 11. So.
But we've got three of the top four quarterbacks in the league are going to be retiring within the next two or three years, so he's, unless some of the new guys rise above him, he's, and there's a couple of new guys I think you'd already have above him, like Russell Wilson and Cam Newton, probably
Andrew
both above
Luck.
Him. Andrew Luck, absolutely above him. Yeah.
Newton, we could argue about if Russell Wilson's high above him or not all day, and I'm not sure we'd come to a conclusion, but I've got them right around the same level.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the thing with Russell Wilson is kind of game management, makes the throws when he needs to make the throws, got a stunning spiral, doesn't run unless he has to run. And so Russell Wilson is likely to be around 5 and 10 years from now. Kaepernick is a much more aggressive runner. He's the kind of guy that reminds me of RG3 that is an accident waiting to happen. And so you wonder, how long is a guy like that going to be able to continue to play it the way that he wants to play? Go ahead.
Yeah. His contract is, again, it's all performance-based. He has to take out, he's taken out his own insurance policy, things like that. So the team is, they understand who he is, and they've given him a contract that allows him to, if he grows and progresses and becomes that elite quarterback, he'll get paid like that. He'll be paid like an elite quarterback.
And if he doesn't, he'll be paid a perfectly fair amount of money.
And if he doesn't, if 5 years from now he's putting up the same stats and doing the same stuff he's doing on the field right now, most teams would be very happy to pay him $12 million, especially with the way the NFL salary cap keeps going up.
Yeah, particularly since you've got guys like Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning that are all making 18 to 20. So, by comparison, that seems like a reasonable amount the guy can perform. So what do you think about Puig as the Cuban exile turning the major leagues on its ear? He's the most controversial player in the game right now. I do think that Puig's antics are entertaining, and is he the real deal, or are you, would you buy or sell on Yasiel Puig?
You know, I like how people are dealing with this. They're acting like he's the most immature person in the world, when for 15 years there was another player that people were just, oh, that's Manny being Manny. That's Manny being Manny.
Yeah.
Because Manny Ramirez could do whatever he wanted on a baseball field, and, oh, that's just right. Manny being Manny.
Well, the fact is that Manny Ramirez was a top five offensive player of all time in the major league. I mean, Manny Ramirez definitely earned the opportunity to be Manny because of his performance over a very long period of time.
Yeah, and I just feel like Puig is 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It always appears like he's having fun.
And he's a young 23 because he's only been out of really the confinement and shadow of Cuba for a couple of years.
Yeah, and they talked about how there was a story I read where he showed up and he could get ice cream whenever he wanted, and that was something just amazing to him. And so he would eat ice cream all the time, you know, because he could get it whenever he wanted. He never had that as a kid. And then people start talking about his weight gain and stuff like that, and it's like, okay, I mean...
Yeah, it looks to me like he's as overweight as a bull in a bullfighting rink. It looks to me like he is all muscle. So if he's Mr. Ice Cream and Jello, God, I'd hate to meet a guy that was really in shape.
Well, exactly, and you know what? With baseball and PEDs and things of that nature, I'd rather have a guy that, you know, you're like, oh, he looks a little, you know, he looks a little, though. I'd rather have them talking about that and saying, wow, he's super, you know, ripped and,
right.
And you know.
For those who don't know, the Dodgers got a gazillion dollars to give up the broadcast rights, so almost no one can watch the Dodger games anymore. But ESPN did televise one recently. And I'm going to tell you, when Yasiel Puig hits the ball, the crack of the sound of the ball hitting the bat is so much more intense than any other player. I think Yasiel Puig is the real deal. I think he is a superstar in the making.